Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, surety, security, and that can only be found in God Himself because He's the one that's in charge of everything. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you think about God's unchanging principles for your life, here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking again today with husbands on the subject of headship, and particularly today I'd like to talk about what sort of wife to look for. If you're looking forward to being a husband, what sort of wife do you really think you need? Some of you probably have a long list of qualifications that you'd like to have. And if you are looking for the perfect 10, then my question to you would be, well, sir, and what do you have to offer to this perfect 10? I think of my dear friend Dorothy Collins, an old lady who was single all her life, and she said to me more than once, look for the essentials and skip the rest. Well, what are those essentials? My husband and I gathered a group of single men from Gordon Conwell Seminary in Massachusetts in our home one evening, and we sat around the fire and we talked about the essentials in a wife. I think the first two are Christian faith and femininity. And if you want to know what femininity is about, then I would recommend, yes, to you men, as well as you women, to read a little book that I wrote to my daughter just before she was married called Let Me Be a Woman. If you women want to know what masculinity is about, you can read my book, The Mark of a Man. Well, it was a very interesting evening, as you can imagine, and a number of things came out as we discussed and tried to distill what these essentials are. By femininity, we decided that a woman needs to be glad that she's a woman, not angry or uncertain about her femininity. Does she wear blue jeans and a backpack and jogging shoes all the time? And that's the crucial question, all the time. Or does she wear the blue jeans and the backpack and the jogging shoes when they are appropriate and necessary? And does she wear skirts and dresses sometimes? Is she trying to be a man? Or does she accept the given, her womanliness, her femininity? It's an act of faith. She was made for the man. She was made from the man. Read the second chapter of Genesis if you don't believe me. She was brought to the man, and she was named by the man. And the trouble with Eve was that she coveted what was not given. Do you accept, does this woman accept the given, that is, her femininity? And the second thing, does she understand the divine order? Does she exhibit a happy attitude of acceptance of her place? You can see that in her freedom and her fulfillment. The divine order is that one is the leader or the initiator, and one is the responder and the follower. The third thing, does she acknowledge Christ as Lord? This means placing self under obedience, being adjustable, adaptable, submissive, respectful, as to the Lord. Wives are to submit to their husbands as to the Lord. Even if he fails, she submits for the sake of Christ. She submits as to Christ. Number four, the kind of wife to look for is one who chooses to obey. Before she marries this man, she is willing to accept his destiny. And we've seen some disastrous results when a man changes his career, moves perhaps from business to preaching, And the wife says, I did not marry a preacher. I married a businessman. I don't think God ever called me to be a preacher's wife. Well, when God calls a woman to marry this man, she calls the woman to accept this man's destiny, whatever changes it may entail. Now remember, when we say that a woman has to obey her husband, that she also is to be his helper. 1 + 1 = 2, not 1 + 0. So please don't go out and quote Elizabeth Elliot as saying that a woman must become a zero. She couldn't possibly be a help, meet, suitable, fit, adaptable for her husband if she's a zero. And number 5, maybe you wouldn't think of this as an essential, but to me, it's an essential. Humor. Now, that doesn't mean you have to find a comedian, but somebody who knows how to laugh at herself, somebody who doesn't take herself too deadly seriously. People like that are kind of hard to live with. The 6th thing, a willingness to lay down a career. If a man is contemplating marrying a very high-powered, career-oriented woman, he needs to get it extremely clear beforehand whether or not she is prepared to give that career up entirely in order to be a mother. A woman needs to see in motherhood all the challenge that any woman needs without any thought of her right to a career. Watch out for any woman who talks of rights. She's going to need all the support and encouragement that you can give to stand against the world's pressures here. Number 7, the unfading loveliness of a calm and gentle spirit. And that comes straight out of 1 Peter 3. And Peter is dealing there with a woman who lives with a non-Christian husband or with a husband who is not acting like a Christian. He is recommending that she should exhibit the unfading loveliness of a calm and gentle spirit. And you men know that it's not going to be easy for your wives to maintain a calm and gentle spirit living with a man like you. Am I right? Number 8. She knows that love is not a feeling, but action. Feelings, no matter how romantic, are no anchor for a marriage. Well, to go back to what Dorothy Collins said, look for the essentials and skip the rest. I think of those as pretty essential, those 8 things. So we could skip the rest, but we might mention that if she can cook, if she loves sports, if she reads your kind of books, if she likes your kind of TV shows, understands your job, can sew, sing, ski, pitch a tent, hook up a trailer, build a fire, understand football, balance a checkbook, clean a carburetor, and give you new thrills every once in a while, well, be thankful. Godliness with contentment is great gain. But we don't need to go through intellectual calisthenics in every conversation. My 2nd husband had a PhD from Cambridge University in England. He was a theologian and a philosopher, and he'd written about 8 books. People have said to me sometimes, wow, I sure would love to have listened to some of your breakfast table conversations. And I said, well, I think you'd be very surprised, because probably more often than not, the breakfast table conversation was about the weather or the coffee or the toast. Now, let me give you men 5 ways to help with the checklist. I've given you too many things here, I know, but you can always get the tape, you know, if you missed it on the radio. 5 ways for men to help with the checklist. You want her to be the woman you want her to be? Well, it's up to you to help her. Number 1, be a man. The best thing you men can do for us women is to be manly. In response to the fullest expression of your manhood, she will be most womanly. You take the lead, but gently, kindly, in a Christ-like manner. Your attitude must be submission to Christ. That's what it means to be a man. Secondly, make her glad she's a woman. Notice things. Compliment her. Maybe she hasn't the figure of the most glamorous woman, but does she carry herself beautifully? say so. Courtesy is another way of making her glad she's a woman, she's a lady, she wants special consideration. Help her with her chair at the breakfast table when there's no company, when nobody's looking. Open a door for her. Remember her birthday. Get your secretary to help you remember her birthday if you need to. Do something. My husband actually brings me coffee in the morning when I'm having my quiet time. Isn't that wonderful? I never asked him to do that. Number three, understand that leadership is for her help and redemption. Be willing to take charge. You handle the money. You handle the tickets when you travel. You carry the luggage. You put the umbrella up. You are to be the priest in your home. That's what leadership is about. Take the lead in family prayers. Let them be simple. Number four, love her with the love described in 1 Corinthians 13. Number five, remember you are heirs together of the grace of life. That's one of the great equalities in the Bible. Both of us are receivers of the grace of life. Life is a gift. Can you measure up to all this? Well, of course you can't. You need help. The higher the standard, the greater the gulf, the more humbled you'll be. So you come to the rock that is higher than you. You ask, you pray, you search the scriptures, compare where you are with where you ought to be. And you could pray the prayer of a long dead slave. Oh Lord, I ain't what I ought to be. Oh Lord, I ain't what I want to be. Oh Lord, I ain't what I'm gonna be. But thanks, Lord, I ain't what I used to be.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.